Welcome to a life-changing encounter with the Word of God, presented to you by Reverend Bright Nkrumah, the senior pastor of the Lycos International Church, Bronx North. He is an anointed pastor and teacher of the Word of God, affecting many lives. Now get ready to be transformed by this anointed message.
Father, we are grateful. We are thankful. We thank you, Lord, for a beautiful day like this. We ask of your Spirit to guide us and to lead us into your word of truth. Holy Spirit, have your way amongst us. Arrest our attention and our hearts. We thank you for your presence here. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Clap your hands together for the Lord and sit on top of your enemies. You are all looking marvelously beautiful. You are looking amazing. You make me want to really go to heaven, you know, and it looks like heaven will be so beautiful. I'm looking at how beautiful it will be that God will bring all these people from all parts of the world together in heaven. Wonderful. Clap your hands together for the Lord. Well, I am going to share a very simple message with you, but I want... Please let no. Amen. This afternoon, I want to share a message with you titled Christ in You, the Hope of Glory. Christ in You, the Hope of Glory. Say, Christ in me is the hope of glory. Christ in me is the hope of glory. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 27. It says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. I have 4 points that I'm going to share with you. But we will see what time will allow us to share. So the first point, Christ is your hope of glory. Christ is your hope of glory. Jesus Christ is your hope of glory. Many people hope in their businesses. Others hope in their houses. Many people have hopes in their cars and in their money. But it is Christ who is your hope of glory. Jesus Christ is your hope of glory. There are people who put their hope in their uncles and in their fathers. And these people fail them. They fail to take care of them, even when they have placed their hopes in them. Some also put their hopes in their mothers. Some put their hopes in their aunties. And they abandon them. Hallelujah. There are some who put their hopes in their education. You know, and you may have realized that you can attain the highest form of education and you get to a certain level where there is no other degree to acquire anymore. Amen. And it still does not free you from getting to a state of hopelessness where many people who have hoped in their education and pursued education still commit suicide. Amen. Amen. There are others who hope in their jobs. They put their trust in their jobs. And they work very hard to attain the highest position in their jobs. And when they have attained this position, it does not fail to leave them with disappointments and depression and suicide. Hallelujah. Yet there are others who put their hopes in the country they live in. Amen. Please, let's take the child outside. Very important. Okay, very important. There are others who put their hopes in the country they live in. Amen. But Jesus Christ is the only hope for the world. He is the only hope that we have. The Bible says in Proverbs 23 and verse 5, it says, "Wilt thou set thine heart, thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven." Many people have put their hopes in riches, and it does not yield them much. So let's read our scripture again in Colossians, if you will, from verse number 23. Colossians 1, 23, in the New Living Translation. It says, "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh." There's great conflict that I have for you. The next verse, keep going. Keep going. All right. You have a Bible? I have one. It says, where are we? 24? 1. Verse 24. Is it 2:1 that I'm reading to you? Yes. Wonderful. It says, "I want you to know how much I have agonized for you and for the church at Laodicea and for many other believers who have never met me personally." Hallelujah. This is Apostle Paul writing to the church in Colossae. Hallelujah. So verse 25. Go down to verse 23. It says, "Which things have indeed show of wisdom in will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh." Keep going. "Which things have indeed a show of wisdom. If ye then be risen with..." Why? What's going on? Okay, listen to me. Okay. Okay. You know, you can put it off. Let's read Colossians 1:27 again. And it says, "To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Now, I want you to understand this clearly. And I want to read it, this, listen to me, from the New Living Translation in I'm reading from verse 25. And it says, "God has given me..." This is Paul writing to the church in Colossae. He says, "God has given me the responsibility of serving his church by proclaiming his entire message to you." This message, are you listening? He says, "This message was kept secret for centuries and generations past, but now it has been revealed to God's people." This message was kept secret, but now it has been revealed to God's people. How many of you want to know the secret that was kept for centuries and is now revealed? It says, "For God wanted them to know what the riches and glory of Christ are for you Gentiles. And this is the secret. Christ lives in you." Here is the secret: that Christ lives in you. He said, this gives you assurance of sharing his glory, that Christ lives in you. If you are a born-again Christian, here is a great secret that was kept for centuries, that Christ lives in you. And it gives you the assurance of sharing his glory. So we tell others about Christ, warning everyone, teaching everyone with all the wisdom God has given us. With all the wisdom God has given us. With all the wisdom God has given us, we are using it to teach others to know about Christ. Warning everyone and teaching everyone with all the wisdom God has given us. We want to present them to God perfect in their relationship to Christ. That is why I work and struggle so hard, depending on Christ's mighty power that works within me. That is the anointing. Hallelujah. So in this letter to the church in Colossae, Paul is revealing a great mystery to believers. Paul is sharing about this great mystery to born-again Christians. It is not just a religion. To say you are born again is not just a religion. It is not just about going to church. Is somebody listening? That God wanted us to know that the glory of Christ is not only for the Jews, but for you Gentiles also. That once Christ is in you, there is the hope of glory. There is the hope of glory. Hallelujah. Now, what is the hope of glory? What is the hope of glory? It's the finality of anything that you can pursue. It is the ultimate of anything that you can search for. The ultimate of anything that you can acquire. It is the ultimate of beauty. Amen. The ultimate of riches. Amen. The ultimate of prosperity. Amen. In Romans 8 and verse 30, it says, moreover, whom he predestinate, them also he called. Them also he called. And to them that he called, to them also he justified. And to them that he justified, them also he glorified. He glorified. He glorified. Now you see, that is the ultimate. From predestination to calling to justification, the ultimate is your glory. The ultimate of man's pursuit for what man can search for and what man can acquire is the glory. Hallelujah. It is the glory. And that is only associated with God. To have glory. You cannot do anything to acquire you that you have glory. There is nothing that you can do to attain that except Christ in you, which is the hope of glory. Clap your hands together for the Lord. So you come to that ultimate. There is nothing else. And so if you look at the next verse, verse 31, it says, what shall we then say for these things? If God be for us, if God be for us, what else? If God be for us, is there depression? Is there poverty? Is there death? If God be for us, Who can be against us? What can be against you? What can bring you down? If God be for us, when you have attained that glory, when Christ is in you, the hope of glory, what else is there to pursue? What else is there to pursue? Amen. So we hear now a great mystery, that when you receive Jesus Christ in you, you have the hope of glory. The hope of glory. Because having Jesus Christ in you, do you want to know what it is? Do you want to know what it means? Receiving Jesus Christ in you is having God in you. Wow. That you have Jesus Christ in you means there is God in you. And this is a great mystery that was kept secret for centuries. That is what the prophets did not understand. When they talked about salvation and they were prophesying about the Messiah to come to give salvation, this was something they did not understand. This was something they could not comprehend. This is something they could not explain. But here, this secret is revealed to you, that the salvation of Jesus Christ, it puts God in you. Are you listening? So Colossians 2 verse 9. I'm explaining to you why God is in you when Jesus comes into your life. It says, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. All the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwells in him. Dwells in him. The New Living Translation says, you see, I'm trying to explain to you that being born again, receiving Jesus Christ, is such a fantastic, marvelous attainment that any man can come to. There is no other. There is nothing beyond. It says, for in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. In Christ. He was the express image of God. He was God in human body. He says, all the fullness of God in human body. So when he offers you to receive him, you have received God in you. Oh, yes. You see, this is something that many Christians are not even conscious of. They don't even know that you being born again is such a mysterious thing. Amen. Amen. That is why Jesus told Philip in John 14 and verse 8, he told Philip, he says, if you see me, you have seen the Father. You have seen the Father. He says, if you see me, because Philip asked him, he said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. And I'm showing you what many Christians are ignorant of, and why many people, when they hear about the offer of salvation from Jesus Christ, they brush it aside. They don't take it seriously because they are not aware of this mysterious thing. So Jesus said, he says, Philip said, Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied. We will be satisfied. And then Jesus said to him, he said, Jesus replied, have I been with you all this time, Philip? And yet you still don't know who I am.
You have received Jesus Christ as your Savior, and yet you don't know who you are in Christ. He says, I have been with you all this while, and yet you don't know who I am. And then he said, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. If you have received me, you have received the Father. If you have seen Jesus, if you have received Jesus into your life, you have received the Father. Hallelujah. Now, this was a very serious claim by Jesus. It was a very serious claim. Because in those days, you cannot make a statement like that and get away with it. You'll be killed. It will be classified as blasphemy. And so Jesus had to do something that shows that he is God indeed. He had to do things that no man on earth has ever done before. He had to do things that no one can ever do. And so he fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 pieces of small fish. He fed 5,000 people out of this. He had to do fantastic things that no man has ever done before. He had to walk on the sea. Walk on the sea to defy gravity, that the sea will hold him. And recently I learned from my father that it was not just a brief walk to the boat. It was about 2 kilometers. Walking on the sea. He had to speak to the raging storm so that it would be calm. He had to do fantastic things. He healed wonderful diseases, very strange diseases, all kinds of diseases. There was a time, he says, there was a multitude. There were so many sick folks, and he healed all of them. He healed every sick person. You know, today in modern medicine, it cannot even do that. With all the modern technology in medicine, we cannot heal every disease. But this Jesus, he was able to heal every disease that came to him. It must be God. It must be God. He spoke to a dead person and then he came back to life. Someone who was dead for days, and his own sister acknowledged that, Lord, by now he stinks. He says, let's go. I am the resurrection. It got to be God. He says, I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection. And so in the book of John, when he healed the blind man, and then he went to the Pharisees and he was talking, and they were arguing and disputing that this is not God. And in John chapter 9 and verse 32, hear what the blind man said. Hear what the blind man asked him. He says, ever since the world began, that no one has been able to open the eyes of someone that was born blind. No one. It got to be God. It got to be God. So that is why we brought you here, to hear this. That is why we brought you here, to understand this. It's not some religion. It's not some stories. It's not some fantasy. Paul said, that is why I work so hard. I work so hard to bring this news to wherever God will lead me. And that is why we want you to hear this. It's not some fantasy. That when you receive Jesus Christ in you, something fantastic has happened to you. You have received God in you. And this was a mystery that was kept secret for centuries and is revealed to you. That when people offer salvation and they are talking to you about Jesus Christ, He is the only hope of glory. The only hope of glory. I believe there are many who are depressed right now. Many who are downcast. You have a job, but you are downcast. You have food to eat, but you are downcast. You are depressed. There have been thoughts of taking your life, ending your life. But you live in a great nation. People have put their hopes in great nations, and it has not saved them. There have been disappointments in your life. There have been times that you wish you never existed. But I came to give you this news, that Jesus Christ in you, He is the hope of glory. He is the ultimate of man's achievements, the ultimate of what you can pursue and what you can go after. He's the hope of glory. He's the one that overcomes depression, the one that dies and rose again, the one that overcomes death, the one that is greater than every disease. And that is why when you receive Him, when He comes into your life, the Bible says, greater is He that is now in you than he that is in the world. He's greater than anything that you can experience in the world. Jesus Christ in you is your hope of glory. Beloved, without Jesus, you are in the state of hopelessness. Without Jesus, you are not going anywhere. Christ in you is the hope of glory. Christ in you is the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Clap your hands together for the Lord and rise to your feet. And for this reason, so God will achieve this, that God will be able to come into you and be with you. He says He gave His only begotten Son. He gave His only Son. And the only thing that drove Him to do this is love. That God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish. You will not perish if you receive Jesus, but you will have everlasting life. You will have everlasting life. I want everyone to bow your head. If you are here this afternoon, you don't have Jesus Christ as your Savior. You are not born again. You don't have God in you. But this afternoon, you are saying, shh, please, very, very important moment. I want you to listen. This moment, you are saying, Pastor, pray with me. I want this Jesus. I want to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and as my Savior. If that is your prayer, you are here this afternoon, I want to say that prayer with you. You do not want to die and go to hell. Beloved, there's that reality. And that is why Paul says, I work so hard to bring this message to you. Because many have heard it and they have ignored it. But you are going to die to find out that you are going to perish. So I want to give you that chance. I want to give you that opportunity. Perhaps you have gone to church many times, but you know in your heart that you are not born again. You don't have God in you. Jesus Christ is not your master, is not your Lord, and is not your Savior. If you want to give your life to Christ this afternoon, I want you to lift up your hand wherever you are, and I'll pray with you. Anyone, you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, wherever you are, just lift up your hand and I'll say a prayer with you. You want Jesus Christ to come into your life. Is there anyone here like that? You want Jesus. You want to receive Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior. Is there anyone here like that? Lift up your hand and I'll pray with you. God is talking to you. It is your opportunity now. He said, that is why I work so hard to bring this message to you. Is there anyone here like that? It is between you and God now. Lift up your hand and I'll pray with you to receive Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior. Anyone here? I know God is talking to you right now, this moment. And he says, is this the time to do it? Should I do it another time? This is the time. You will not have the opportunity again to do this. But here is your opportunity to receive Jesus as your Savior. And I want everyone to join me in saying this prayer with me and say, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Please forgive me of my sins. I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died for me. I believe you rose again on the third day. Please wash me with your blood. I accept you as my Lord, as my Master, and as my Savior. Please write my name in the book of life. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me today. In Jesus' name, amen.
We believe you have been blessed by this powerful message. Come worship with us at the Lycos International Church, 1810 Randall Avenue, Bronx, New York, at 2 p.m. every Sunday. God bless you.